Alrighty.
Life? We're live?
We're here.
We're live? We're live.
Joel.
Brian.
Who'd have thought that a person could cock block themselves at the Olympics?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
A good problem to have if you're a man.
That's all I've been seeing on the internet this whole weekend is the one pole vaulter from France does his set, and he almost makes it if it wasn't for the fact that his big fucking schlong just whacks the hurdle and just
His Eiffel
fucks
Tower
his
hadn't
run.
you?
He ended up getting like 15th place, all because of his wang. Unfortunate.
Wonder if it wasn't knocked down, he would have gotten higher.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know the
But
rules of vaulting.
yeah, I don't know either. I feel like it's one of those things where if you don't knock it down, you're probably in a good spot. Like I know there's like the freak athletes that like clear it, no problem. But I don't know. I feel like he should have got sympathy points just because it's like, come on, man, you can't not feel bad for the guy. It's like it's not his fault. I mean, it kind of isn't. Kind of is. I don't know.
Perhaps the best cursed of all.
The best.
Cursed of all, I should
Well,
say.
he got a lot of attention. That's for sure.
Yeah, I mean that might have been better than the
So,
medal, but sometimes it is.
I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to the United Nerd Podcast, where we don't always talk about Olympians, nether regions, but we talk about games, movies, news, and other kind of nerdy stuff. Of course, as always, I am Brian. Along with me is my wonderful co-host, Joel. Joel, we have a lot of news to talk about, but before we get into the news, how have you been doing?
I've been good. I wanted to share my wife and I have been watching the show called The Mole. It's basically a bunch of people do this like reality TV show, like they work against each other, their games. It's on Netflix, and there's two newer seasons that came out in 2000, but basically there's one person called The Mole who's sabotaging them the whole time until the very last mission. And then however much money they earn throughout the games, they keep. But of course, the mole tries to sabotage, or people work against each other. You don't get voted out, but there's a quiz at the end. If you don't do good on the quiz, you leave. So we've been
Okay.
watching that. We've been enjoying it. We finished the season two. So there's that. I played a lot of Street Fighter today, so that was
Oh, getting the
fun. Trying to
grind.
unlock my secondary outfits for what you call it, Aki and Ed. I was
So
working on that.
let me ask you this, because I haven't looked at that kind of stuff. How hard is it to unlock like extra costumes?
So with that in World Tour mode, you have to like get the right
Oh.
item or a certain item. If you give it to them, it boosts their rep up or your familiarity or whatever I forgot it's called with them. Once it gets to 100, it unlocks the secondary outfit. Like I have Rashid's Street Fighter V outfit, right? And I have Zangief's original Street Fighter II outfit, Chun-Li's original Street Fighter II outfit, and so forth, you know.
Okay.
There are other ways of increasing the rep. Like if you talk to them enough and give them enough stuff, sometimes just fighting them and beating them gives them rep. And that works too. Or they send you on a mission, it gives it a lot of rep. Right now I'm working on JP. I need his level 3 super to get to M. Bison. So that's what I'm doing right now. Yeah.
Okay. Neat. Oh, I don't know. I kind of fell off World Tour mode.
I blame you.
I wish that after like the first season, they made it so you can play classic controls.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up. I actually switched to this controller. I have a gamepad. But it's like the only way to do world tour is, I mean, you can input classic controls. It's just the modern gets in the way. It's like a mix. I just switched to modern. It's been weird going back to modern, but also the last time I really was focused on world tour, I wasn't as good as a Street Fighter player. So it's weird. It's like this guy who's giving me hella trouble. I like kicked his ass. So I was like, oh, I'm a little bit better, but yeah. Modern is great if you're getting into it, but now like, oh man, I can't go back. I know Ed on Classic. I'm starting to know Akuma on Classic. It's like a damage reduction in Modern sucks too. So
yeah, that's maybe one day. Hopefully,
it's not going anywhere. Don't worry.
What's it been up to?
Let's see. I got 4 Marvel Crisis Protocol figures. So,
oh, that's right.
Working on that. MCP is a little board game. We've played. We had a little tournament too on our page. I got Namor, Black Panther, Chosen Ambassador. But yeah, go ahead, Brian.
That way you can check us out playing MCP on our gameplay channel, UWN Plays, where Joel destroyed me for the World Nerd Away Championship. By the way,
Guardians of the Galaxy, baby.
Soon there's going to be an announcement for our next title match. So look out for that.
Nice. Ultimate Encounter. Who doesn't dive
so,
with him?
So which figures did you get?
Black Panther, Chosen of Bast, Namor, Shang-Chi, and Silver Sable. And I'm gluing Silver Sable right now. She's drying.
What's the differences between this Black Panther and the original one?
This one's more of a mystic focus. He costs a little less. He can't be a leader, but he can go in Avengers, Midnight Suns, and Defenders, and Wakanda. Instead of just 2 factions, he can go with more, and he costs less. So one of the things that when you build your team, they cost a certain amount. Like Namor costs 5. Black Panther's like 3 or something, or 4, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's 3. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, so I told Brian, though, I don't think the last time, I think the last time we just played games, but I beat Mirage. I don't know if I put that on the last podcast, Assassin's Creed Mirage. That was really good. Texted you about that. Oh, and it was the 1-year anniversary of Baldur's Gate. We finally played after a minute. We've been putting it off. We've been busy, but I finally got Brian here, and our buddy Jameson passed the Goblin Camp in Halsen. And Aunt Ethel. So for those who know, Aunt they finally Ethel. Cleared Ethel at level 5. So you know.
It was that hard.
No, but if you go into level 3 or 4 like I did the first couple times, it's not fun.
Oh, so, yeah, no.
Yeah. Level 5 makes it a lot easier. No, and not knowing the mechanics either.
Yeah, we were all level 5, so I got like the double attacks going. Oh, everybody was good. You actually did a lot of clutch moves with the I forget the name of the spell, but the one that has you drop enemy weapons.
My tactician run, I had the spell called Command. You can make enemies drop their weapon, and it saves me a lot, honestly. And for those who know that, Githy Yankee Patrol in Act 1, if you don't know, that first time, it's they don't hold back. So
no, they do not.
But yeah, Command was my very good friend in to my tactician run I beat with Karlach.
Oh,
yeah. So... yeah, happy 1-year-old anniversary, Baldur's Gate. Hella fun. What else we've been up to? I did MCP the other night with our buddies. We did a ultimate encounter of the Hydra tank. Red Skull. Our buddy played the Red Skull, and we lost. We got our butts kicked. I kept calling Kingpin Thickums, so it just goes over and over. And they're like, "Why?" And we just stuck the knife. What else? New season of Sea of Thieves. We played yesterday. We got fucking destroyed. But that's what we did yesterday. That was a seafaring fun. New content. You can find this like red orb to sell. It's pretty cool.
And it's it gives you a lot of money.
Well, it's like 20 or 30. And then if you're max rep, 50, something like that.
Yeah, I think we almost made almost half a mil.
Hell yeah.
Just that one session alone.
Spent it. Thanks, Sea of Thieves. But yeah, and lastly, I'm going back to work because I'm a teacher. I had summer off.
Summer's over.
Yeah, going back in. I had my PD meeting virtually today and yesterday and tomorrow. I go back in. More meetings and all that stuff. Fun stuff.
Welcome back to the force.
You gotta do though.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian? What's been new? I know I did shared some things we did together, but.
Yeah. So stuff I did on my own. I've been cracking at it back with Tekken and Street Fighter. I'm trying to get used to playing Tekken 8 on my leverless pad, my Snackbox Micro, because for pretty much the whole time since it's been out, I've been mainly using my PS5 controller because it feels nice. But with, you know, Evo come and gone, Marcelo has been very into the FGC, which is great. And he's thinking about trying to do some locals. So I kind of want to join him on that adventure, but I want to try to get used to this guy a little bit more so I can be more versatile in my selection of games. It's hard though, dude. I don't know why. Street Fighter, I'm fine. Like when I play with you in Street Fighter, I use that, and it's been working.
I kicked my ass the other day.
It's been working fine.
I was like, fuck. But
I don't know why, for some reason in Tekken, like I'm having such a weird learning curve with it, because you don't. It's odd because you don't really need to do that many like fancy like button combos like Street Fighter does. It's a lot of strings you need to remember for sure. But I don't know, for some reason, I feel like I'm like very delayed in my responses to certain things that are happening with me. It's not like terrible, but I'm trying to polish that up a little bit. But yeah, I've been kind of grinding on that a little bit. I hopped back into Marvel Snap.
Oh, nice.
A little bit.
Is there any Deadpool awards or rewards?
Oh, of course. Oh, nice. Marvel Snap has always been very up to date as far as like what's happening in Marvel. So, of course, since Deadpool and Wolverine came out, they had a season that was dedicated to Deadpool and Wolverine. They added the season's now over, so now it's a new season. But what they had a special game mode. I don't remember what it was called, but it had a special currency called Bubs. And it was like these little like half Wolverine, half Deadpool like tokens. And pretty much how it worked is that there was different scaling levels that you could get depending on how much currency you've accumulated. And instead of trying to fight for the power cubes, you are pretty much betting on Bubs. And so every time you kind of do the snap, the amount of Bubs that you're kind of betting on increases like tenfold each time you do it. So you can have a match that requires you to have like maybe 5,000 Bubs, let's just say, just a random number. And then by the end of that match, you could be betting away like 20,000, you know, and it's one match. So it's just one regular match. There's nothing else special about it, but there was a special war tree that you get all the special Deadpool Wolverine stuff. But one of the main prizes was that at like 20 million Bubs, you were able to get a Cassandra Nova card. And I barely didn't make it. Yeah. It was getting really tough. Like I was fighting up against some really crafty motherfuckers. But it was nice. I haven't played Marvel Snap in a bit, so it was kind of cool to get back into it. Apparently today they just started a Young Avengers season, so I'm gonna check that out because I'm all about the Young Avengers
recently.
Yeah. But yeah, I've been getting back into Marvel Snap, which is really fun. Doing that on the Marvel train, out of all the Comic-Con hype, which we'll get into a little bit later. I decided to get the Marvel Unlimited subscription, the like digital comics service.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to have it. I'm reading the prelude to Secret Wars, so I'm doing was it No Time Left? That leads into Secret Wars. With the
incursion? Yeah. The incursions?
So I'm reading up that. I'm trying to get familiar with the comic version of Secret Wars to prepare for the MCU version to kind of see what's different and what's what they've got inspired by. But yeah, it's really nice. They had like a deal, and I think they still have the deal right now where it's like $3 for 3 months, and it's like a special because of like Deadpool and Wolverine. They have like a special deal. But like besides that, it's like maybe like $12. So it's like it's still pretty relatively cheap when you get like the whole Marvel comic collection, including Star Wars and shit like that. But yeah, I've been having an interesting time. I haven't read comics in a long time just because it's few and far between where I can go to like a comic shop and actually keep up to date. So it's actually kind of nice to just have everything there. And the reading guides are actually really helpful because that's what I've been doing. I just typed in like No Time Left and they had this whole reading guide. Okay, these are the essentials that you need to read in order, and they put it in order for you.
That's cool.
So you just read through all of it and then head on straight into the main event. So I've been enjoying that. Been kind of taking my time with that, just pacing it out.
I think the last thing I read was Age of Khonshu, Avengers Age of Khonshu. Yeah, that sounds right. That was an interesting read. Yeah, Khonshu versus the Avengers and Moon Knight being super empowered. It's pretty cool. Nice.
When I finish Secret Wars, I have queued up, the Knight in Black, the whole Null event.
Oh, yeah. It's very popular. I don't know if it's good. I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading it.
Though.
His Marvel Snap card's fucking great.
I've seen it, yeah. I'm sure he'll be an MCP figure soon enough.
Oh, God, that'd be insane. Just have a whole symbiote class.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing that too. That's fun. What else? I haven't done it yet, but I got a closed beta code for Mecha Break.
Nice.
So I'm actually thinking about recording a video and probably putting it up on the UWN Plays channel.
Hell yeah.
Just kind of do like a maybe like a 2-hour kind of like sneak peek.
Play it right now.
It's kind of hard because it's a PC only closed beta, which is fine. But I thought about streaming it here, but the only issue is I have a one PC setup, so playing a PC game and streaming is pretty taxing, and the quality's not great. So I'm just going to record it and then put it on our YouTube channel. So look out for that in the near future. I'll probably record it tomorrow, and then maybe have it out by the end of the week. Don't hold me to it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I've been keeping myself kind of blank slatey because I know what's nice is that the team from Mecha Break was like, hey, stream it, make videos about it. You know, everything is open and free to just do what you want with it. So it's like, cool, sweet. So a lot of people have been streaming it. I've been tempted to take a look at it, but I wanted to kind of keep it fresh for this video I'm going to do. But I mean, we both have been excited about it just by watching the trailers from the past two Summer Game Fests and other gaming shows. So I'm looking forward to that. Of course, Bandai Namco just announced like in the past week, they are going to be having their second session of Gundam Breaker 4 this weekend on Saturday.
Shit.
Which sucks because I am going to be going out of town on a day trip on Saturday. So I'm going to try to see when I get back home, I can squeak in a little bit of time because the time frame is like 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. So I'm just gonna try to squeak in because I think they added the diorama mode and they added new missions for people to try. Nice. for this session. So hopefully, cross my fingers, can play a little bit more because that was fun.
Busy Saturday, fuck.
Oh,
oh man.
But yeah, we had a fun time with that.
Camping. Oh. Fires.
Fires in California are a thing. you can't dodge that.
Well, this time it was a fucking dude. Anyway,
I feel like half the time it's a fucking dude. It just depends on how long it takes for you to find out. Wait, is it the same dude that just like pushed a car into a valley?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard about that guy. Fuck that dude.
Go camping with my friends, and now I can't because then they'll get lung damage.
Lung damage.
And of course, we might be trapped by the fires. So that was the main thing too.
That is a thing. That is something to be worried about.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Maybe that means whenever it's pre-planned, maybe I can actually go. We'll see.
We're trying.
Other than that, just gaming, doing thing. What did I watch? I finally saw the first half of season 2 of Transformers Earthspark, the Transformers show that's on Paramount Plus. Still enjoying myself. It is very like kind of pitched more towards like kids. It is a very kid friendly show. But I still enjoy it. It's a fun time. It's only half the season, so they still have to release the last half, and they haven't made a date for that yet, so I'm kind of like, I need to watch more Transformers, even though the movie's coming out in like less than a month.
Oh yeah, it looks fun.
But yeah, other than that, just kind of doing my thing, hanging out,
having a kuma.
Anyway, before we get into the main topics of the show, I just want to remind everybody that if you're watching this live, you can join us in the Twitch chat with us during the stream, during the podcast, chime in on the topics that we're going to talk about today, which is going to be Bungie and Game Informer layoffs and closures, as well as Comic-Con news. For anybody watching later on YouTube, if you haven't, hit the like button, show the algorithm that you like what you're seeing and you want other people to see it. Hit the subscribe button if you're feeling a little bit more generous. And of course, hit the like bell so you know when more episodes are coming out, as well as UWN Plays, where we have all of our gameplay. You could check that out too. And if you haven't noticed, United We Nerd are official partners of Zenny Gaming. You can have a great time gaming to your heart's content when you have Zenny Gaming blue light block filter lenses. Very stylish, very cool. And what's best part, Joel, is that it doesn't break the bank. You can get the style you like, with the comfort you like, with prescriptions, sunglasses maybe. You can go check that out on our special partner link. Go to Zenny Gaming for all of your gaming eyewear needs. Thank you, Zenny Gaming, for partnering with us. We appreciate y'all. Okay. And Joel, I believe we should talk about what's been going on. And I kind of want to pitch this to you because you are the Bungie boy
of it's really of our just group. clan leader of a Destiny 2. Just Riven's Bane, put so, too much time into Destiny Bane.
So tell us what's been going on this past week.
I'm gonna say you cut it dry. They laid off like 200 people again. They had big layoffs. Of course, you know, the internet, nothing is unsafe or unshared now. So we found out, you know, CEO bought tons of collector cars before laying a bunch of people off. The sour taste in people's mouth as well. I will say Jeff Keighley did retweet that a lot of people got laid off. So there's kind of like a big lens on what happened. So if more big names could do that and help out these people who lost their jobs, that'd be great. Shout out to all those developers, everyone involved, people with music, made the game great. That's why I kept coming back. I mean, I've been through highs and lows. I still play, but it, you know, thank you for everything, making the game so fun and meaningful. And for me to come back, not recently though, I haven't played since the 29th, which is fucking years for me in Destiny time. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
So
just thanks. And but before I yeah before we bring up the bad more bad stuff, but yeah, it's
frustrating again. Dude, again, because they just laid off people last year when they said they wouldn't, and they did, and they did it again. It didn't age which well is at frustrating all. Bene Chess says things are going great for Bungie sarcastically. But no, this fucking sucks. It's just proving more and more that the problem was from the top of Bungie. Because, like I remember last year, it was kind of during the time when Sony themselves was going through a restructuring thing because they were going all in on free-to-play microtransaction games, and then something went wrong, and so it seems like they were readjusting, and they were laying off people. So it was kind of like a... is this a Bungie thing? Is this a Sony thing? And this that happened last Wednesday, this is a Bungie problem. It's not a Sony problem.
Yeah, it is.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but included with those 200 or so employees, two of them were like the two big mainstays of Bungie, right?
Yes, they were.
I'm trying to remember what their names are.
One was Luke Smith.
Luke Smith. That sucks, dude. So let me ask you this, because we're both big Destiny fans, but I feel like you are the bigger fan for sure. Seeing,
I guess,
seeing this happen, right? And you pretty much have like the two, like pretty much all around like cherished. Like, not executive, but leaders of Bungie leaving. Is this just it? Is this the end of Bungie as we know it? Like, not saying they're going to go away, but, like, as far as, like, having Bungie be this kind of studio that, you know, these are the people that gave us Halo. These are the people that, you know, left Xbox and tried to make a name for themselves with Destiny, and sure, Destiny was on a roller coaster, but Destiny grew this big fan base. And you know, 2 years ago they said, well, we're bringing back Marathon and we're gonna do this, and then, you know, turns out, you know, the people at the top really bad with money couldn't hold together, and now Sony is like, okay, it's like we're going to be taking over now. You guys cannot manage yourselves. Like, what is that? Like, what does that mean for you?
It sucks. I mean, you know, when it happened last year, it was like really shitty for me. I still play, but it really killed it. And then this time it's like, again, like literally like a year, like it's not even, you know, it's.
And like right after fucking The Final Shape.
Yeah, which was killer, good reviews, great momentum. It was a good, you know, it was, Destiny was kind of sliding back to being like, eh, but then I think for me, Final Shape was like, oh, this is great. This is fun. This is what Destiny should feel like. You know, I'm just going to say it because someone's going to say it or think it out there. You know, it's the CEO's job, you know, they make hella money. They don't have to help anyone, blah, blah, blah. So fuck that shit. Stop being greedy or selfish. Anyway, okay, that's out of there. Yeah. Yeah, I know they got to run a business, but it's so disheartening. Yeah. You know, again, like the internet, nothing is unsafe, right? It'll all come to light. So it sucks, you know? Ben, who's here, he pointed out, because I was, you know, kind of like on our own Discord, I was like, you know, if you don't come back, that's okay. That, you know, this is shitty. He's like, well, you know, you still want to honor what people worked on and appreciate what they did and look at what they put into it. And, you know, it I definitely agree with that. And I just want to see what everyone's hard work was. But then it's like, you're gutting so many people. And there was already like, you know, before Final Shape, I was like, some of this shit isn't kind of running as right. You know, it's like, and now more people are gone. It's like, you know, the joke was, you know, it's held together by like strings, you know, duct tape. Sometimes it felt like, but yeah,
it's sad. Ben corrected me in the chat. Luke Smith and Mark Noseworthy weren't laid off, but they left on their own accord. They kind of like they saw the writing on the wall. Well, at least that's how Ben's putting it. It's just sad, you know, because it really, like you said, it really did take the wind out of a lot of people's sails. Because you're riding really high on the Final Shape. We played Final Shape here on stream multiple times when it came out because we were just so into it. But you know, just the. I mean, this isn't a unique story, unfortunately. Like, this has been happening for the past 2 years now. Like, so many video game industry companies have been just purging devs and workers and journalists and what have you the past 2 years, and it sucks. And especially for anybody that's a big fan of something like a Destiny 2, it takes all the fun out of it. You know, yeah, it's the game itself hasn't changed really, but it's the fact that all those 200 people that worked so hard and had to push back to Final Shape to make sure it was as best as they could when it released, all they get for it is like a, hey, you know, here's your bonus. Here's 6 months of medical. Good luck finding a new job when the whole rest of the industry is purging people that aren't looking for people to hire. You know, see ya. Goodbye. It sucks.
The tweet I saw, that was really the Final Shape. That, the last.
It's like, okay, our 10-year plan is now finished. Done.
On that, as long as we're talking about Destiny, they released a still like, hey, 10-year anniversary of Destiny 2. Come get some armor that looks like Destiny 1 characters. And I was like, elated. I was like, this is what you're putting out after all this. It's like, hey, come get some cool armor that's almost not the same. You know, it's like, I get it, but I'm like, oh, this is not it. There might be some secrets and stuff. I don't know. Like me and Clive members were talking. It's like, maybe there's some hidden stuff we don't know, but it's like, if your main grab is come get some 10-year-old armor, like, I don't just, it's, that's.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be building up, not doing something. It's weak, honestly. It's pretty weak. But what can you do when you have, like, I don't know, 10 people left? I don't know what their numbers are right now, but lay off so many people. I guess they're just churning out whatever they can.
Yeah. Fucking Ben. Pete just wanted 10 years of Destiny, so to hunt down the cars he wanted to buy. No, actually, I remember seeing a post of one of the workers that got let go, I think last year, of saying how Pete invited him to see the new cars that he bought. And then 2 days later, they got laid off.
Saw that, yeah.
That's fucked, dude. That's so fucked.
And of course, the community jumped on it fast within like I don't know, hours. This guy is like Pete Parsons collecting his cars. It was in Destiny 2, someone collecting like gold vehicles. They're just adding into their collections. I was like, oh my God.
Oh.
Yeah, it's, I know he's a CEO. He's supposed to make the company money and save money, but laying out 200 people is not, it's criminal. And I know we had the conversation about bloat, but still, it's like.
So.
Yeah, and the car thing. Ugh.
I pulled up a article from Bloomberg just to kind of make sure that we didn't miss any major things. So it seems like Bungie or Sony appointed a new director for Bungie. Tyson Green is now the new director of Bungie, at least as of this article, which released on the 2nd. And it says that people within in Bungie feel a bit more optimistic now that Green is in charge. They look optimistic for the future of Destiny. So, I mean, that's cool. Still sucks that 200 people had to be let go, and about 155 people are being moved to a new Sony studio that's working on a new game. Yeah. And they didn't say what that game was. And apparently there's supposed to be a Destiny spinoff that got canceled throughout this whole kind of situation. So
no Destiny Racers for us.
That's a whatever. That's a pie in the sky kind of thing. But like, you know, I'm hoping now that we have a new director for Bungie, because apparently like Sony is now just kind of like, hey, we gave you a chance. We said that if you didn't get your shit together, we're coming in and taking charge. And so now that's happening. Hopefully this is a sign of good things. But again, I don't want to speak for both of us, but I think now it's kind of like, okay, Bungie, you need to prove to us that you are in the upward trajectory now, that, you know, despite letting go of all these people. Yeah, of course, that was under old management. Now it's new management. So new management needs to take time. So hopefully they can get shit together. I don't know if Marathon is going to be the thing to help them. Like, are you looking forward to Marathon at all?
I don't give a shit about Marathon, I'm gonna be honest. it's cool they're bringing it back. You know, who doesn't love to see an old property come back, especially if you're familiar with it and a fan of it? But if this is happening with Destiny 2 now, I mean, I guess I could give Marathon a chance, right? But I'm cool. Yeah. I'm cool with that. People are like speculating maybe they shouldn't have split up, you know, to let Destiny suffer, work on Marathon and Destiny at the same time. I don't know. I've heard that story before, and we see what happens, but
yeah.
I don't know. I'm really thinking this this year is the year. I always say I'm not, you know, one DLC always pulls me back in. But I don't know, this might be it. What do you think? Are you gonna be in Marathon? Are you on that? You gonna be up in that?
I'll be curious when it comes out, because we don't have a date for it at all. It's, you know, it's in the strategy of Sony right now. It's going to be a free to play shooter. I have no idea what Marathon was until they announced the reboot of this. Ben in the chat saying they said it's going to be heroes instead of nameless characters. So it's going to be like a hero shooter, maybe. I don't know. I'm not gonna hate on it. I'm just gonna have a wait and see. I'm not gonna think about it. I'm not gonna lose sleep over it. I'm just gonna, when it comes out, I'll check it out, and hopefully, it's not like the more hundreds of thousands of free to play, you know, microtransaction games that come and go under the weight of Fortnite and Warzone and all the other Apex. Big Yeah. Oh, Ben and Chess says Marathon is going to be an extraction shooter. Okay. That might be a little different because we don't have that many extraction shooters, and at least we don't have any that are really popular, at least not that I think.
I think one of the Modern Warfare's had that, played it with my brother-in-law. That was pretty fun, but not enough for me to buy it. Yeah. At least not yet. So.
Well, hey. Via Game Pass, now you never have to buy a Call of Duty ever again.
That's true.
You can play Modern Warfare 3 right now.
Eh.
You can get Rhea Ripley and Riptide fuckers in multiplayer.
That. I'm not paying $80 for fucking Kong's Gauntlet, though. No, thank you.
All right. Well, we'll keep track of Bungie news, of course, as we do. Before we get to the next story, I want to say thank you for the follow, Justice B 1991. Thank you for the follow. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Is that
Justice? We know the Justice. Don't remember. If it is, love you, bro.
Glad you're here.
Oh, I just want to say for those who are still playing Destiny, Trials got a really big update.
Finally.
Yeah. So. If you have a team of three and you lose and you stick with your team, it doesn't count as a loss on your card. You can go flawless if you stick with your team and get seven wins. So for those who are finally trying to get that flawless, now's your time. So good news there. I just want to share for those who are like, I don't know if I can do it. All you need is a good team. Well, not even a good team. You just need to persevere. That's what I think it's called, persistence, card of persistence. So I know a few of our Destiny buddies who were big on it, they wanted to do it. I don't know if they will. They kind of are turned off right now. But those who still are in it, how's your chance? Just want to say.
So you can go flawless without being flawless.
So you just need to stick it out. I don't know how many. That might be 1 hour. It might be seven. It might be more. So... You just.
It only took them 10 years to make me interested in Trials.
having gone flawless once, it's a good feeling. But yeah, it is not easy. I had great teammates too, and a lot of luck. The guy I was worried about one of my matches, he DC'd. I was like, holy shit. I can't. It was a Ward of Dawn Titan. We didn't have supers. I was like, fuck. We were on round five or something. And I was like, damn it. We had a good run. Fuck. But I was like, oh, well, it is what it is, right? You win some, you lose some, and then he disconnected. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, we're going today. We're going. Enemy All Titan, right. Thank you.
on the same track of layoffs, we have a full doggone closure. A very sad closure, because we... We're told last week that GameStop has officially closed Game Informer.
I wasn't expecting that, to be honest.
For people that...
I always felt like that was a facet. That's crazy.
It's fucking wild, dude. So for people that weren't around during the big boom of like video game magazines, like Game Informer... was like the magazine. Now, yeah, you know, it was bought by GameStop. You know, every GameStop you walked into, it was there. You pretty much had access to it, but it's just sad because so many video game magazines have been closing down these past few years, and there's like really no big heavy hitters left. And so having Game Informer close down is really the end of physical video game media, like journalistic media left. I actually, it's funny, last weekend, or before this announcement came out, I found my last remaining stack of Game Informer magazines, and I was thinking about getting rid of them, but but with this announcement, I'm getting sentimental about these things now. Here, I pulled out two of them that I kind of cherish a lot. The cover with the article showing off Assassin's Creed 3.
Oh, it's a good one to have. Damn.
Really fucking good. They ended up using this for the steel bookcase that they were giving away. It was so good. And then, of course, this one, the title feature for Titanfall.
That's a good one, too.
It's so good. And it's like, this is gone. Like, sure, these are not rare, because anybody who bought a GameStop reward subscription got a year's worth of these motherfuckers. After a while, they did transition to digital only. And it actually wasn't until recently where they decided to come back to physical, which sucks, because when this announcement was made, they were just finishing up their 367th issue of Game Informer, yeah, which was going to be their Dragon Age Vanguard, or the Veil Guard cover.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the last ever Game Informer magazine. It's really sad, like I was saying, how so many, like, if you look back in history, at least for me, Game Informer was like one of the only places back in the day, like the early 2000s, mid 2000s, where I looked for game reviews and, you know, the articles of up and coming games I was looking forward to, that was getting the first like sneak peeks of, you know, what the next Assassin's Creed game was, or like what cool game that wasn't on my radar that I read an article in the magazine. It's like, oh shit, I should check this out. It's gone. And what the most fucked up thing is, Joel, is how GameStop apparently doesn't have a fuck to give about Game Informer. Because reading up on what was happening, the day GameStop laid the hammer down and decided to close off Game Informer, they were in their offices working on this last issue. They got called into a meeting and said that they were laid off. And at that same moment, on the Game Informer Twitter page, there was a goodbye note that wasn't made by any of the fucking people that worked at Game Informer. Game Stop made a fake fucking goodbye notice for Game Informer. Everybody was finding out that there was no more Game Informer, like everybody that worked there, GameStop posted that on their social media. Now, later on, somebody who did work there managed to post an actual goodbye letter. And then I guess someone from GameStop found out about it, because they ended up just wiping out their social media. Like, their Twitter is just fucking gone. Or not gone, but like wiped out, right?
I think is wild upon that. Well, I mean, let's talk about it too. Like, the I didn't hear about that's fucking, that's so scummy. Oh my god, like, not even a chance for them to say goodbye on their own terms.
No.
It's, oh, the pop store is fucking evil. Jesus.
And the wildest thing, the thing that's gotten people most outraged, is that GameStop didn't even have the wherewithal to leave the website untouched. They edited the website so it's only a splash page with the goodbye letter that they made. So the 33 years of articles, the 33 years of content that they've made, which is like resume filling shit for all of those journalists and writers and people that worked on the website and like their YouTube page and whatever. The YouTube page is still up and running, but the website themselves that has all of the archival articles and head stories for every issue is just gone.
Yeah, that blows my mind. Like I knew we were about to get to it, but just like hearing that, it's like, why would you nuke all this content? Like that, even from a business standpoint, like, wouldn't you want to fucking charge to see old articles, even if it was like a minuscule amount, but to fucking a Library of Alexandria nuke it, like set it aflame. It's just, what the fuck? Is it going to turn into some weird monetization thing later? Like, we actually have it. You could see it all for $300. It's like, I don't know. It's
like, just so... like, honestly, I feel like GameStop has been planning this for a while, and they're just doing this as a cost-saving measure. Because let's be fair. You know, physical magazines have been on their downturn for over a decade now. It's no secret. That's no hidden thing. But just by all the things that I gave examples for, you could tell that GameStop had no fucks to give as far as owning, like, for whatever you guys think. I know many people have different opinions about Game Informer based on the fact they were owned by GameStop. That's fair. But the fact still remains that Game Informer was one of the most prestigious video game magazines ever. It has such a big history. Fuck, it's as old as, like, I am. You know, it came out the same year that I was fucking born, dude. Like, the fact that they are just trying to wipe the earth, like, clean is fucking atrocious. It shows that none of the higher-ups at GameStop gave a fuck about the history of what Game Informer is and was. Luckily, there are some people that are trying to retroactively archive all of the online files and in articles from the Game Informer website. So, you know, fingers crossed they can get as much as they can for the writer's sakes. But it's the audacity of it all.
Real.
You know?
Real.
It's fucking mind blowing, dude.
I just, the nuking, dude, is just, yeah, it was a clear, we need to save money now with no fucking thought, hindsight. It was, fuck, robotic. I bet that if that apology was AI too, that fake ass apology, like many apologies could have. Now.
It fucking could have. You never know.
I'm gonna bet it was.
It just.
Why pay an intern to do it?
It just hurts me because, just like our conversation with Bungie on everything that's going on in like the video game developer industry right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's even rougher for video game journalists, because we've been seeing so many of them just go out left and right the past 2 years. And so to even have a company like Game Informer not be safe, because I feel like even though GameStop has been hurting to trying to find a feasible, you know, market or, you know, game plan to try to make money, like, how does this help you in any way? Like, sure, you'll probably save a little bit on like production costs, but who the fuck's gonna want to even care about? Like, so many people don't care about GameStop already. I feel like it's just a net negative, because it's just more reasons for people to hate GameStop.
It's just the pop store now, like I said. It's just like, I think I haven't actually gone in there and bought a game in like, I don't know, years. Pre-pandemic, maybe?
I don't know.
I'm sad I didn't. It's one of those things. You don't have the foresight. You just don't know what's going to be around. I definitely had a fucking couple cool Game Informers. And, you know, it's like, don't worry, they'll be around. Never would have thought they'd be nuked at, like that, at least.
I'm sorry, Joel. I was reading this Kotaku article to kind of get more information if I missed anything. Okay. So the CEO of GameStop, Ryan Cohen, right? He's the guy that makes all the decisions for GameStop. So he is currently being sued by apparently he had like stake or something like that in Bed Bath & Beyond. So apparently he's being sued by the former what was Bed Bath & Beyond for $47 million of insider trading profits. Fuck, dude. Fuck.
Oh. Can't fucking stop. You know, can America, we love stop? Our guns, but I'm just saying, guillotines, you know, guillotines.
Holy shit.
How much fucking money do you fucking need? It's the real conversation.
Well, apparently he's going to need a lot if that fucking lawsuit fucking goes through. Fucking shit. Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know. I have been content with being mostly a digital gamer nowadays. No hate to the people that work at GameStop, because those are just, you know, teenagers and like young 20-somethings dealing with all the bullshit they have to go through from corporate.
Service jobs are hard. No lie. Service jobs are hard.
But, hey, Ryan, go. I'm going to one cam you real quick. Fuck you.
I think that's the most aggressive thing he said on this channel or podcast.
I got it. God, I'm fucking, it's already steamy in here. I'm fucking even more. It's the fucking sauna right now.
Don't worry, Brian. Mad. I got 48 mil insider trading on Game Informer. Don't worry.
My fucking God. Hope those stonks were worth it.
Oh, that fucking shit crashed, bro.
Good.
The fucking stock market crashed, so. Woo! Good luck.
Fucking good. Okay. I could talk shit about GameStop Corporate for a while now, but I think that won't be as productive as we'd like it to be. So, to try to alleviate some of this fucking hatred right now, let's talk about Comic-Con news. San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I got some hate for Comic-Con.
Oh, you? Well, I could pass that baton to you, good sir.
I mean, there's a lot to talk about, but we'll get to it. You know what I'm talking about. When we get to it, we'll get to it.
How about this? Let's just start with the main event, Joel, because I know you've been wanting to talk about this for a little bit, so I'm gonna pass the baton to you. Tell me what you're feeling.
All right, so it was announced RDJ's back in the MCU, but he's not Iron Man. He's gonna be fucking Doctor Doom. We've all been wondering who's gonna be Doctor Doom, who's gonna be Victor Von Doom. Hopefully someone fresh, someone cool. Nope, we got fucking Iron Man to do it again. The reasons, of course, very clear. Jonathan Majors, gone is Kang. They're trying to scrub that clean, get people back, put faith back in the MCU. MCU's not what it used to be, all that bullshit. What better way? Get the Russos, get Iron Man to be their fucking villain. He's going to be Iron Man turned Doom, and we're going to all watch it, and still probably going to be good, and I'm still pissed about it, if I'm honest. It feels fucking lazy, but I get it. They need to do it because they're a business. It's all because they're a fucking business. That's my Jewel. Piece.
But Jewel.
There's more for, yeah, it's just, no, Brian.
It's
no,
our boy.
Fuck this. No, no. I was being nice yesterday, and, you know, talk about friends. Some friends are like, I'm not excited. I'm finally getting Marvel fatigue. I've been holding on.
Oh, wow.
I've been like, this is great. I'm like, no, this is it. I get the fatigue now. Yeah, there's some shitty movies, whatever. But you know what? Like, this feels fucking lazy. I fucking love those movies. You know, even the really bad ones. I mean, I haven't seen Madame Web, but, you know, it's, or I haven't seen New Mutants either. But still, like it could have been, okay. It miffed me so much. Me and my wife went on a fucking trip with our god kids, right? We went to San Diego. On our way back, I said, guess who they cast as Doom? I said, she's like, who is it? And I said, RDJ. She's like, you're fucking with me. I was like, no, I'm not. And I'm fucking mad about it. And so we compiled a list of who we think it should be. I shared this with some friends the other day when we played MCP. But I'll go and share who it should have fucking been, or at least considered. So, for my list of Dr. Dooms, I put, before I've said this, I've said Clive Owen, he's maybe too old now, Adam Driver, Michael Shannon, Bryan Cranston, Jeremy Irons, Henry Cavill. I said Ron Perlman in voice only, because he's got that smooth voice. Luke Evans, I feel like he has the face and build for it.
Ooh.
Antonio Banderas could have been a sexy Doom. Javier Bardem. I really wanted it to be Fassbender, though. They've recast so many fucking people. Why couldn't it have been Michael Fassbender? But whatever. Hiroyuki Sanada, Henry Golding, Lee Jung-jae. They've brought other people back. They've brought back Idris Elba. He was in the Ghost Rider movie. Christian Bale.
Yeah.
They could bring him back. Chiwetel Ejiofor. He's in another Marvel movie, and he's still currently Mordo, I think. Oh. My wife said, what about gender bent? Rebecca Ferguson is Doom. Bring back Mads Mikkelsen. Alexander Skarsgård, John Boyega, Ian McShane in voice only, she said. Rick Yoon, Will Yun Lee, Chris Pine. I thought it was a weird choice, but he could do it. Peter Dinklage, he's got gravitas. Orlando Bloom, and I said Orlando Doom. But, you know, we've brought back other people. I guess why not bring back RDJ? I don't know. I'm still going to watch it. You know, I'm mad about it. I'm still going to watch Doomsday, probably opening weekend. It's like, you know, yeah, Joel wasn't that bad, was it? I'm still going to be fucking mad how good it is. Russo's fucking RDJ, fucking Disney.
Yeah, I honestly kind of don't know how to feel about it, because when it comes to the realm of multiversal bullshit, anything can happen, really. And it's not like the MCU has to strictly go by what the comics did. So they could like just do their own thing. I don't know. I feel like I'm more, I don't want to say cautiously optimistic, but I'm more cautiously looking forward to seeing what they do. I'm not, could they have gotten anybody else? Yes. Is this, I think, depending on when our first introduction of this version of Doom comes to us, whether it's going to be in the Fantastic Four movie, like near the end, will this be a kind of movie by movie buildup, kind of like how Thanos was? Or are we just gonna maybe get a little piece of him and then just full blown Doomsday? Like, here he is, Doom. I don't know. We'll have to see. Between here and Doomsday, there isn't a lot announced, strangely enough. We have about 2 years before Doomsday comes out, and we only really know what we're getting next year. We have no idea what the slate is for the first half of 2026. We know that they said that they hard confirmed Doomsday for July of next year. It was like June or July of next year. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel they had to pivot somehow. And yeah, did the break glass get RDJ back? Like, emergency? Could this have been a, you know, the easy way out? Maybe. But I don't know. I come from the world of watching a lot of wrestling. And a lot of wrestling stories are predictable, but it's how they get to the finish line is what's intriguing. So I'm looking at this as a, I want to see if they can build up an interesting enough story to make the outcome make sense. And I'm seeing Ben saying paid him a gajillionaire dollars. It's like he is making bank off of this shit. Like he was out and they are like pleading for him to come back in because
including services on top of the money.
Because as much as we wanted to see where it was going, you know, with all the stuff that was going on with Jonathan Majors, nobody seemed really into Kang. Like it was an interesting idea when Loki season one came around, but after Quantumania, like a lot of people were going south on it, and I don't blame Marvel and Disney for looking at that and being like, okay, well we can't have Jonathan Majors anymore. Not anybody's interested in Kang. Let's pivot. Will it work? That's to be seen. But anybody, like including yourself, anybody that is feeling sour about this, you are very justified in that feeling, because this is a red flag emergency situation.
I hope we don't see his face. It better be his face is covered, or if we see his face, he's fucking disfigured, like I said yesterday to you guys. I don't want to see RDJ's face. And I know he could do multiple roles very well.
He was he's a good actor. Called,
on HBO, that was really good. No, he got that Oscar. He deserves his pay. I don't know if he knows needs a gajillion dollars. But, you know, it's... I was really hyped for Kang. Honestly, like what they like, I know I'm probably the one person that was hyped. You know, he was kicking ass in the realm, you know, how they set it up with everything. And then, of course, you're going to be, you know, fighting a bunch of kings. And of course, Jonathan Majors isn't a great guy. You know, we've all seen it in the footage, but it sucks. But I get it. I don't like it. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't want to see his I will be fucking mad if it's Fantastic Four post-credits. Oh, Friday. What did we find here? And it's like, fuck this. I'm done. I'm fucking done.
Like, I don't think it'll be like that. I want to give Marvel a little bit of credit. I don't think they're that dumb to just literally make it Tony Stark as Dr. Doom. Like, they did say it is Victor Von Doom, Dr. Doom. Now, whether he's a variant, whether they are taking the one comic where they swap bodies and tweaking it a little bit for this universe that the MCU is in, who knows? Like you said, it's probably preferable that he keeps just the mask on and he's just more of like the comic / cartoon style Dr. Doom, where it's just that is the persona and that's who you get. Yeah.
But he's an actor. We need to see his face for him to get money. So
the only way I can think of that would be suitable, and they have to build it up correctly, is to have his mask come off, is that he is a variant of Doom that so happens to look like Tony Stark, or it's like it is the one spinoff issue where like they do swap bodies so Doom can like get ahead in life because, you know, the Stark name is everything. And they have to do something with Spider-Man. Cause I can imagine built up right, having the mask come off and it being like Tony's face fucking up Spider, like Peter, so much, because that was the whole point of like Far From Home and like No Way Home. Was like Far From Home was like he is trying to shed, like Peter is trying to shed that identity of like, you know, Tony Stark is gone. He is not. And then having to relive that trauma again, but like on a grander scale. And then maybe, I don't know, maybe have like another Doctor Doom come in. And then, you know, it's, I don't know. It's weird. I'm not a story writer. That's why hopefully like the people over there are getting paid good enough for this shit. I don't know. I think at this point they just need to kind of correct the ship a little bit, get to the finish line. That way the Secret Wars can happen, the multiverses merge, and we can get like the soft reboot that they're talking about post Secret Wars, and then kind of start anew, you know. I don't know. Benichet says Disney Marvel wants another Thanos, but unless they spend the years to set up Doom, it won't hit as hard because they're not spending the 6 years to build him up like they did for Thanos. Yes. This is going to be a hurdle because Thanos was built up to be this big universal threat, had the build-up time, had the small appearances in different movies like Guardians, like the post credits for other movies and stuff like that leading up to Infinity War. Three years to fully flesh out what Doom is supposed to be can be hard, unless if the slate for 2026, the beginning of 2026, focuses heavily on whatever this Doom is. Right? You gotta have something there to have people care. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. I don't know. Joel's just shaking his head.
I'm going to watch it. I'm going to like it. I'm still going to be mad. Be like, fuck, that was good. Fuck. And then watch it again. This is just how I am. I mean, all love, of course, to writers, you know, the screenwriters, people, the crew, the actors. I just,
yeah,
just one nerdy ass fan with a qualm. That's it.
Yeah. So that's pretty much just a wait and see. But you know what, Joel? There were other things that happened at Comic-Con. And I feel like we can talk about a few of them with a little bit of authority, just based off of what we like. I'm just looking up the big compilation list from Kotaku. The Like a Dragon Yakuza series got
live action,
Live action got a teaser and a release date. So the live-action Yakuza series that's coming out on Amazon Prime is going to be released on October 24th. Only a few months away. And I don't know if you saw the teaser for it, Joel, but it looks good.
I haven't.
Honestly, like, just a full disclosure, I'm not the biggest Yakuza fan. I have watched people play Yakuza. I have not played a game myself. It looks great. It's just, they're just big fucking games. But yeah, this looks good. We just got to see a little bit of the actor Ryoma Takuchi. He's playing Kiryu, the main protagonist for Yakuza, and he looks like a good Kiryu. He looks pretty decent. It is a short series, though. I think they said that there's only like 6 or 8 episodes. So for people that are big fans of the Yakuza series and like the Like a Dragon series, it's known for having a serious main plot with wacky, absurd side quests. And so the question is, how much of the wackiness are we getting with the series? And that's yet to be seen. But it looks decent. Looks cool. Probably watch it when it comes out. Joel, you watched The Boys, right?
Yep, sure did. I am not all caught up with season 4, though.
Okay. Well, they announced, or Amazon announced, that there's going to be a prequel spinoff about Soldier Boy.
Oh, yeah, and Stormfront, yeah.
So for fans of that, that's cool. I have not watched it at all. Because
they said they wouldn't expand their universe like other superhero movies, and the whole point of The Boys is kind of make fun of that, and then now they're doing it, but
now Amazon. That's successful.
Yeah, they're exactly. Doing it. It's just it's ironic.
The irony is not lost on me. Of course, they released another trailer for Transformers 1, the animated Transformers movie based loosely on the origins of Optimus and Megatron. Looks fun. It's definitely kind of centered more towards kids, but the animation looks cool.
I don't know. Optimus Prime or Megatron is about to give someone the finger.
Yeah. It's like, want to see my finger transform? but yeah, this is cool. We don't normally get a lot of like early days Transformers like media. So, you know, it's still loosely based off of the Michael Bay universe. So I don't know how that's going to work out, but it looks fun. I believe Keegan-Michael Key is Bumblebee.
Nice.
With Chris Hemsworth as Optimus. And then Brian Tyree Henry is Megatron.
Superboy. Yep.
Also, what's his face from Godzilla V Kong?
Nice.
So that's cool. Mortal Kombat 1 announced their second round of DLC.
Hey Brian, before we get into that, I just saw this note about it. Yes. Do you think the DLC for Mortal Kombat is appealing to only people over 50?
I feel like it's always been that way. Because
I just thought it was interesting. Someone made that point. I was like, that's kind of right. I mean, I know those characters. I'm definitely not 50 yet, but it's just. And I was like, oh. They always are geared to like 80s, or not always, I should say, but there's sure been a lot of when they do like a round two, it seems like characters that are like big nostalgia for it, but at least before my time. I don't know what the demographic for Mortal Kombat is. So
I think because of the era that Mortal Kombat came out, like early 90s, like you still had a generation of people that really loved 80s action movies and like 90s action movies and stuff like that. I feel like that's always kind of been in their DNA, because you've had, what was it, Mortal Kombat 11 had like the Predator, had the Terminator, I think Spawn was in like a game. You know, you had a whole
Joker
bunch.
Joker in this one?
No.
So Joker was the last one.
Joker was
Peacemaker is this one too, with Homelander, right?
Peacemaker, Homelander, and Omni-Man were in the last season.
Yeah.
So for this season, they announced the return of 3 Mortal Kombat Legend characters and then 3 guest characters. Cyrax, Sektor, and Noob Saibot. are coming back. Looks pretty cool. Cyrex and Sektor are getting like a new version of themselves, because like this is Mortal Kombat 1's like a reboot of everything all over again. So this time around they're gender bent, and it seems like they're more human than robot, which is interesting.
I saw that too.
Also Noob Saibot is Noob Saibot, he looks cool, has like the shadowy kind of ninjutsu stuff going on. The interesting thing is that the guest characters this time around is the T-1000 Terminator from Terminator 2, like the liquidy Terminator. Conan the Barbarian, the Arnold Schwarzenegger Conan the Barbarian, and oddly enough, Ghostface.
That's what I mean. At least in our friend group, okay, there is one person I know, but he's not in a friend group, that is that kind of likes Conan, I think. But that's the one, too. It's like Conan, Terminator. I did like that Terminator 2 movie. It was, you know, from the 90s. It just feel like, and then, yeah, Ghostface. Interesting choices.
It's interesting choices. But, like, to answer your question, I feel like it's just the, like, honestly, I just feel like it's the people that work there. But also, it's just for Mortal Kombat, I feel like it's very hard to get guest characters in, because the property rights holders have to be okay with these characters getting fucking ripped to pieces.
That is true.
Right. So I feel like when it comes like 80s action movie characters and like horror characters, because, like, what, I think, like, 10 or something had, like, Jason Voorhees and, like, all that kind of stuff. And you have to work within that restraint. And luckily enough, there's a plethora of very popular, like, action movie characters to go from that people still care about today. It is kind of interesting to see, because Mortal Kombat 1 hasn't had the biggest player retention rate. It's still popular, but to put it in retrospect, you know, Evo just happened, right? And their placement in the overall, like, setup for the entire, like, weekend tournament is based on the entrant rate. You get a certain amount of entrance to said game, depends on if it's going on the main stage on Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat has been out for less than a year, and it was like the fifth highest entry rate, which is kind of bad for a brand new fighting game. Like, let's put it in this in like retrospect, like they had Third Strike. I'll be a very popular, very beloved Street Fighter game, right?
Yeah.
Had more entrance than the brand new Mortal Kombat game. Now, of course, like, people are kind of iffy on Mortal Kombat. They either like it or they don't like the new style, because it is a new style of Mortal Kombat. But I don't know. If you're to ask me if this would get me into Mortal Kombat, no. I've never really been into Mortal Kombat. It wasn't my game. I know it's Marcelo's game. Well, it was his game in the back in the day. But I don't know. It's cool. I'm sure people are excited that they get to play as Ghostface and probably make a bunch of scary movie references.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that happened. We got the first trailer for the Penguin series for HBO Max. That's based in the Batman movie universe.
Penguin. It's the Penguin.
I think this got held back. I feel like this was supposed to come out last year, but I think maybe it got held back a little bit. But it is coming out this fall, so we don't have to wait too long to see this. It looks interesting from what people have been explaining. It seems like, what if you threw Penguin into like the Sopranos? or like Godfather kind of thing. So it's a very like mob gangster, like crime kind of show from what it looks like from the trailer. Colin Farrell doing a fantastic job as Penguin. He did really great in the movie and he looks great in this trailer for the Penguin. Are you interested in this show at all?
The fact that it's like a prequel, kind of. I mean, maybe if there's some more of the Bat villains or, you know, precursor Bat, maybe. I don't know. I'll watch it if it gets enough, like, attention. You know, that's how I felt about Peacemaker. I was like, why the fuck would I care about Peacemaker? He's a piece of shit in the movie he was in. But then, you know, it was a compelling show. So it's probably the same with Penguin.
I think people like Penguin enough that they'll check this out.
Are you going to watch it?
I'll probably check it out just because I really did like the Batman movie. I felt like it was really a very good. Very good movie, and I'm glad we're getting a second one. And that they're just continuing this universe of Batman. It's more to my liking as far as Batman movies go. It's like more grounded, more detective based, more like down to earth, like street crime, not like street crime, but it's like crime drama rather than like, oh, Batman is, you know, going to go fight this big, bad, like over the top character, which is not bad. It's great when it's done well, but I feel like we haven't seen like this grounded of a Batman, like, property in a while, so I'm glad that they're under the new James Gunn regime, they're still continuing this like franchise and not just getting rid of it.
Tell you what I am gonna watch, which you might have skipped because I'm looking at the list too. Rings of Power comes out this month. I really enjoyed Rings of Power season one, so season two.
I have not seen Rings of Power.
Yeah, so I'm just curious, they're bringing in this guy who's supposed to be invincible, so wondering how they're going to do that, but
okay.
Another entry into that cool universe.
Do you think I would like it?
If you enjoyed the original movies, I think you would. Even the prequels, I think, are kind of goofy, but they're still fun. It's a lot of world building for sure. There's some cool moments. Yeah, they definitely tease a lot of the connections to the main three movies too. But nothing is like 100% like this is that. There is some like intrigue that like, what is this? But of course there is Elrond, so he's a different actor. But yeah, I think the dwarves were pretty cool. They made it interesting. It's very good. I don't think it was as compelling as like Game of Thrones, you know, but it's entertaining. I think you could pass. Yes. I'll watch it for you. What happened? Why can't I hear you anymore?
Oh, sorry. I was muted. Holy shit. But yeah, like I was saying, I don't hate like the Lord of the Rings franchise. It's fun.
You heard it here. He hates it.
So maybe one day I'll give it a shot. But you know, there's just too much stuff to watch.
It really is.
Let's see. They did show off the new Ninja Turtles show. That's based off of the most recent movie, which is pretty cool. Pretty much has the same exact vibe as the one that came out a year ago or so. When was the?
Still need to watch that. I'll make time this weekend. I'm gonna finally watch it.
Let's see. I want to get the actual name of the show. It's like Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I believe. is what it's going to be called. Oh, actually, holy shit. The first episode comes out this Friday. So oh, it's, nice. It's here. It's pretty much here. It's going to be on Paramount Plus. But yeah, just from the vibe of it, it has the same cast, same overall vibe as the movie that's kind of based off of. But yeah, you know, always love seeing more Ninja Turtles. Always a fun time. I'm trying to see if there's any other big announcements that
Harrison Ford walked on stage, goofy as fuck.
I mean, oh, dude, that. Harrison Ford hulking out. Yeah. Hell yeah, dude. You know, I'm glad that he's in it in an age where he can just have fun, but also still not give a shit at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. But I guess from that, unless there's any other news that came out of Comic-Con that we missed that you wanted to mention, I think that will do it for the podcast this week.
Yeah.
All right. Well, of course, for everybody here watching live, thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate you. If you're watching on YouTube or listening on podcast services, we also appreciate you a lot. Remember to like, if you can, leave a comment down below telling us what you thought about the announcements from Comic-Con, if there's any ones that we missed that you really enjoyed, as well as your thoughts on, you know, the gaming industry in general, you know, with Bungie and Game Informer or just anything else. Let us know in the comments down below. And of course, this has been the United We Nerd podcast. I've been Brian. This has been Joel. We appreciate you so, so much. And remember to forever and always keep on nerding.
Friday, boot up the Ultron bots. We're going to take over. It's going to be not the Age of Ultron, but the Age of Doom. Bum, 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 bum. Secret Wars. I just did the plot for you. There you go. You're welcome, Disney. Fuckers.
Iron Man returns.
The 60s were fun, but now I'm paying for it.